I'm calling Ben. Here I go. I'm going to join the meeting. Going to join the meeting with Ben. Here we go. It's time for Ben in the podcast. Hello, Ben. How's it going? Ben is...
Once again, I cannot
saying,
hear Paul.
Once again, he cannot hear Paul. But you can hear Ben. Well, actually, you can't. But you will be able to. Because I can hear Ben. It's happening that I can hear him. He's here. I'm hearing him. He doesn't hear me. And why doesn't he hear me? I don't know.
No, the problem
but
is on
it's
my,
not my
end
problem.
Because
it's on his end.
Wirecast can hear you. I'm
Wirecast
seeing it bounce on Wirecast,
can hear me.
But I'm
he's
not
seeing it bounce back,
you.
But he's not hearing
through
me.
Through my headphones.
Through his headphones. Ah, see, now this is me cheating because I can hear him. So, what to do? Looking at the video feed, you can see that my mustache has grown in some, but it's not entirely ready. For those of you that are listening, this is not the same thing as a teenager who's trying to grow a mustache in. My hairs on my mustache are full, but they're just very short. It's like a mustache with a crew cut, if you will, which is a little bizarre, but hey... Speaking of a little bizarre,
volume is up.
You guys remember the books, the littles and all? I didn't like the cartoon that they made out of them, but the books themselves were some of my favorites when I was a kid. I really liked the littles books, and I enjoyed The Wizard of Oz, which I've talked about The Wizard of Oz before. I was born on May 15th. That's the birthday of L. Frank Baum, who also... wrote the Wizard of Oz books.
You,
and there are multiple books.
On my own.
There are multiple books from The Wizard of Oz that I recommend. I liked, I think it was The Patchwork Girl of Oz I liked. Of course, Ozma of Oz was the second Oz book that I read, but there were tons of them, and I actually, I think Santa Claus is canonically part of the Wizard of Oz universe, which is kind of interesting. But the library that I had when I was a kid, the library that I went to, which is the Edwardsville Public Library,
so and you know,
was
probably, if you're hearing
the
me
book,
say that,
the
but
the
I'm
book,
just, I'm not
like,
getting any audio
source
out of my headphones.
For all of these. And because I learned about interlibrary loans, and they would do interlibrary loans with me for these Oz books.
Sound,
I would get them and I would read them. I would read voraciously.
Output,
one of the problems right now that I have with reading, of course, is that my eyesight close up isn't that good. Right. Ben and I talk about this sometimes. About, as you can see, Ben is wearing glasses. If you can't see the feed, I'm not wearing glasses right now. But I do have, I have two pairs of glasses, actually. One pair I wear when working at a computer or reading books for its close-up. And then I have another pair, which are... I think Ben and I have talked about this before in the past as well. They're called... I believe they're called transition lenses, I want to say. But I'm not sure. It's when you...
Progressives.
Progressives. Thank you, Ben. They're called progressives. And hey, Ben, can you hear me now?
No, I can't.
Okay, just checking. So they're called progressive lenses. I don't like wearing them because they make me feel weird, but I'm getting more and more used to them. Every once in a while, I'll put them on. I like the way they make me look, which is weird for glasses because for a long time, I didn't. But anyway, are you still doing stuff, Ben, or are you ready to talk?
No, I'm good.
Able
so
to,
let me tell you.
Talk.
Let me tell you what happened. So
yeah,
this is how dumb computers can be sometimes. I couldn't hear you. I could see the meter in Wirecast bouncing. So I knew that your volume was getting through. And I hit all the buttons inside of Wirecast that I had hit before that was the problem previously. That wasn't the issue. I went into sound settings in system preferences in the macOS software. And it was the headphone, that was what was selected. I switched it to the external monitor, I started to hear you, switched it back to the headphones, and that turned it on.
Crazy. I now have a MacBook Pro, I'm not using it for this because Ben, the MacBook Pro that I bought was it was $300. It's a MacBook Pro from 2010.
So it's a 13-year-old laptop?
Yes. The only thing...
no longer supported by any stretch of the imagination.
The only OS that it will run is Catalina. And yeah, I'm reminded of this because you were talking about stupid issues, right? One thing that's very frustrating when you're trying to use a new computer, it'll try to hook up to iCloud. And it won't be able to. It will never allow you to move past the accept button. There's a workaround for that, which is that you say set up later, and then it'll let you go past. Dumb, but it cuts out a whole bunch of people for it. The second thing is that it doesn't have GarageBand on, even though it did at one point in time run GarageBand, right? But you go to the App Store, you try to get GarageBand, it says, you know, this is not supported. You need to upgrade. But you can't upgrade to that level. So what do you do? I found out what you do is you go back to your purchases, you find when you find GarageBand, right? And then you click on it, and it will say, now that you're not in the App Store, but you're here, it'll say, GarageBand is not available. Download an older version of it, and then you say yes, and then you have it. So I have GarageBand now. This is the whole reason why I got the laptop. Is you remember I bought a Mac Mini for the same reason, to run GarageBand. The problem is, sorry, go ahead.
And the problem is,
I didn't have really a place to use it. It was you know, kind of difficult, you know, and the monitor and the keyboard and all that kind of stuff. But a laptop, it's just all right there. And so the laptop that I have now has GarageBand running on it, and it has the very important Flex option that you can choose for the track. And what Flex does is it stretches the audio clip to match your BPM. And it also allows you to keep it in the key that you've chosen for your song. Two very important things for what I'm going to try to do again, which is to make interesting electronic music. That's the whole reason I got the laptop. So
as long as it's interesting. I just noticed that today we are accidentally Marvel versus DC.
Hey, look at that. Yep. Fantastic Four. Ben, have I talked to you about Fantastic Four already?
We probably talked about it at some point.
My thoughts on them. My thoughts on the Fantastic... Wait, did you know the person who directed... No, I think that's a different guy that I'm thinking of. I think someone knew the person who directed the Fantastic Four movie that everybody panned.
Colin Trevorrow?
He's the guy who did the one superhero thing, Chronicle, I think, right? Is that the same guy? I think superhero thing made in, like, it was set in Seattle about friends who became... Anyway, the big thing is I really liked the Fantastic Four as a superhero group. It was one of those things that when you play TTRPGs, you know, and you're like, why are these people adventuring together? What is the reason and all that? Make them a family. Make them people that, you know, one person grew up with the other person, the rest are all related and all that. And then there's something that keeps that group together. It's nice. It's a fun thing as opposed to, you know, the Avengers or Justice League or whatever, which is like, we're all around an ideal. The Fantastic Four were, you know, a family that got together.
The first family.
Yeah, exactly. So, speaking of which, MCU is going to be getting the Fantastic Four, most likely. And some people have said, which is a little crazy, that our good friend I don't know if he's a good friend of ours or not, but the guy who played, as you might have known him, the guy
tells the audience he can't remember somebody's name.
Adam Driver.
I was wrong, and it was it wasn't Colin Trevorrow who directed Fantastic Four. Tim Booth, maybe? No.
Okay. Well,
anyway, I didn't know who that was.
But anyway, there's a rumor that I heard that Adam Driver was maybe going to be Mr. Fantastic.
Well, Fantastic Four already made it into the MCU because didn't Mr. Fantastic, played by the guy in the American remake of The Office, who's now an action movie star, who did a video series called More Good News or something like that.
Yeah, that guy. I know who you're talking about.
It was one of the Doctor Strange movies, right?
Here's actually a fun game that I just thought of. and the name of the game is More Paul or More Ben. So that guy, the guy you're talking about, I think More Ben. Absolutely More Ben, as is the guy who played the original guy in The Office and Bilbo Baggins and all those guys. Martin Freeman.
Martin Freeman.
Jesus More Ben. Lord. So let's think. Obviously, I don't know, man. Okay, this is what I'd say. Kyle MacLachlan, More Ben. The character of Dale Cooper, More Paul.
But that's a close one. I'll have to take your. Seeing as I've never seen Twin Peaks, I'll have to take your assessment on that.
Okay. All right. I'm shooting my shot here. Ice T. I think more Paul. But I don't know for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if you're also treading into dangerous waters there.
Let's see. Dangerous waters. Jaws.
More Paul.
Hey, no, wait, no. Quint.
Yeah.
Quint, I think Paul. More Paul. Who's the
Richard Dreyfuss, but I don't know.
Oh boy. Name. More Paul?
Richard Dreyfuss might be in Paulland as well.
But I think the guy who actually what's his name? Oh gosh, can't think of his name. Come on.
He was in Air, Blue Thunder.
Yep.
Roy Scheider.
Roy Scheider. I think more Ben. I'm going to say more Ben. I could do this for a while. Chef Boyardee, more Paul. Tony the Tiger. Tough one. More Paul. Although, Lucky, even though I think I'm more Irish, maybe genetically, I don't know for sure, but I think that's 100% Ben, as witnessed in
Lucky,
the Lucky Charms guy.
Oh, how about Piglet, more Ben?
Oh,
Tigger,
gosh.
More Paul.
I from Winnie the Pooh, right?
Yeah.
I think more Ben. I really do.
Tigger.
Paul?
I said Piglet is more Ben, yeah?
Yeah, Piglet is more Ben, yeah. For sure. I think Tigger more Paul, but it's tough. I'm a little bit... See, this is the thing. Rabbit also may be more Paul. I'm a little bit... This is crazy for people who don't know us that well. If you're going by just appearance on stage, whatever, you would think Ben more neurotic and exacting than Paul. But many times, there have been times where I'm like, Ben, no, it has to be this. Because if we don't do it this way, it's this way. And Ben's just been like, all right, this is the best. The best thing Ben has ever done is like, yeah, okay, sure. I'm not as invested in this problem.
Well, no, that's not it. It took years to actually get to that point. However, I do use that as an illustration of being able or being okay with just going with it. It's a good improv exercise where I'll talk to people who are if they're nervous or stressed about like a live performance. It doesn't even need to be like a theatrical performance. It can be just like a talk or something. I'll often relay the story of how, when you and I are getting ready to go on stage, like Bruce is introducing us. And then as we're standing at the door, you turn around and say, "I'm going to do something. Go with it." And then, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage."
Yeah.
Goody and Lawrence. And it's like, well, what am I going to do now?
Exactly. Yes.
How is this going to work?
And the other thing is that thing of I'm going to try something, go with it. If I were to try to describe to people how that works, it would sound like nonsense. But it's really like everything that we've heard so far in the show, because we're backstage listening and all that, we're listening to what the audience likes, what they don't like. We're seeing the makeup of who's there. We know what they have, because we didn't know before what would have, come before it and all that. And sometimes I'm there and just like a crystallization came in and would say something like, and I'm using you as an example, not me, right? But there was a time where we were doing something, and I believe it was me yelling at a guy because I was mad at him, and you drank an entire beer at the same time. Is that right? Two things?
That was a 60 seconds max, and there was a jerk in the audience, and we had a routine that we had planned.
Yeah.
And when it was our time to go on, I don't even know if you said anything to me. I think you just started yelling at this guy. And I'm just standing there going,
"We're not going to do that."
60 seconds max. For people who are listening to this who don't know, it was an annual festival here at the theater, and the performers all sat on stage. And as like a thank you to the performers, there were coolers of beer everywhere that were just free for the performers. And so I was just like, I suddenly found myself with nothing to do on stage. So I just grabbed one of the beers from the cooler and shotgunned it.
And to explain also, the audiences for Spin the Bottle were by and large the best audiences that one could ever want. They were open for whatever you were going to do. They were supportive, all that. Occasionally there would be dialogue between the audience and the performers. And some people, very few people, but some people who were out of touch with what was going on, whatever, thought that that was an invitation to abuse the people who were performing.
Right.
Which is not the case.
And I don't remember the specific instance, but this certain audience member was being very disruptive to other performers.
Like, I think said something about the appearance of one of the female performers, that sort of thing. Like
totally
just
possible.
going behind the thing. So I was just yelling, and I'm bringing this up as an example because me yelling at this person could have been a waste of our slot, could have brought the entire thing down, all that. But because Ben did a shotgun of that beer. Look at me, I'm Mormon all of a sudden. Did a shotgun of the beer.
Did a shotgun of
or whatever. Because
technically
Ben
it
did
wasn't,
that,
but I just drank it fast.
It is one of the most endearing pieces that we did that people bring up all the time. Because it punctuated it.
When Ben abused to alcohol on stage.
Oh no. I don't know if you can hear this, but the ice machine we have upstairs is making a horrible noise. I am feeling
as
though.
Are you going to be leery about that ice now?
So if I talk, the microphone isn't going to pick me up.
We'll still hear you on the stream. Are you going to go up and check on it?
So what I, yeah, what I'm going to do, Ben, do me a favor. Is there any news that's happening? Anything that you have, do you have any sort of little story you want to talk about while I'm going upstairs really quick to deal with this thing?
I don't have any stories, but there's a bit of news that happened today. Yeah. You can still hear me as you go upstairs. Yep. It's just that the podcast won't be able to hear you. There was a news story that came out today. Oh, Eyeball. Oh, so two people died today. I don't know if you know about this. Jerry Springer passed away today. Jerry Springer, you might know him from his syndicated daytime television show that you might have caught if you were homesick from school or from work, where he often brought on people who were, I guess you could say they were angry with one another or had conflict in some way. Jerry Springer, I believe, made a name for himself when he was, I believe, a state representative and enlisted the services of an escort and paid her with a personal check.
Oh, hey, let me just say a couple things about the Jerry Springer show. When you remember Andy, who's been on the show before.
Yes.
He and I lived, we were roommates for a while with two other people. And we, as a household, chipped in and bought Jerry Springer's Too Hot for TV video cassette. Which then...
What, did it have like nudity on it or something?
It had some... Some racy content, which at the time twerking wasn't a term that we knew. So we referred to the dance that was being done as the big booty butt dance.
Okay.
And we had this thing, Andy and I had this thing where he would pretend to be Frank Black from the TV show Millennium, and I would be Peter Watts, who he worked for, and and he would say, "Peter, I need you to do the big booty butt dance for me," and I would say, "I don't think you're ready, Frank." You know, that sort of thing. Like, we'd have this dialogue, and that conversation that we had with that eventually turned into the two cops talking, which eventually turned into girlfriend.
The murder files.
Yeah. So it's a weird little Goody Lawrence tie in there. Did you ever see Millennium, by the way?
No. In fact, when you said Frank Black, I thought you were talking about Black Francis, the lead singer of the Pixies.
There is a episode of Millennium that Andy and I wrote together, which is great, by the way. It's a wonderful pilot for a TV show that doesn't exist anymore. The idea is that Pfestra, I don't know how it's pronounced, it might just be pronounced Pfestra. And it might be pronounced completely different. If there's a fish disease, that if humans eat the fish that have this disease, they get memory loss. And so the idea, we wrote this entire episode where Frank, the story behind Millennium is very much like Manhunter. Frank Black is a profiler. He sees what the killer sees. And, you know, he's working to stop the end of the world, all this kind of stuff. So in our episode, he's gone to this town because there were some people who were killed. But no one in the town can think straight or keep stuff straight because the fish in the town's food supply has been tainted with this. And there's a situation where he's at a record store, and they say, you know, what's your name? He goes, Frank Black. And they say, oh wow, you know, like the Pixies. Oh, you probably don't know them. And he's like, yeah, I've heard of the Pixies before.
Can't go a day without hearing about the Pixies.
Exactly. That was the thing, is I can't remember what artist we had, but it was like do you, I'm gonna make it up, but it was like, do you think your name could be Debbie Harry and you could go one day without hearing about Blondie?
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. Because we thought it was funny that it was never, I mean, that's who he was named after. He was named after Black Francis, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the inspiration for that name. They always, you know, like Scully was named after Vince Scully in the X-Files. Mm. That the same
Vince
same,
Scully wasn't
wait.
Yeah.
But same sort of thing. So yeah. There's that. And okay, also you know, Ben, I don't know if you know this, but I worry about things sometimes. I have some you know, concerns.
What's on your mind, Paul?
Some things. We've talked before, and there are many stand-up comedians before us who have also done this, but we've spoken before about how growing up as a child, you would think that quicksand would be more of a danger because of it showing up in TV and stuff like that.
And the Bermuda Triangle and acid rain. Yeah.
Exactly. When I was in my 20s, after I was out of the Air Force and living in this house, one of my big fears was that I would suddenly somehow end up on the Jerry Springer Show. That someone would... And I, by myself... came up with the way to not feel bad about it, and that's it. They'll call you and they'll say, hey, this person's going to come on the Jerry Springer Show and be talking about you, and they want you to be on the show. You know, you should go and tell your side of the story. All you have to do is say, no, I'm okay.
Right.
And then not go, and then there's no show. And when I realized that, I felt very empowered. It was nice. Anyway, Springer died today.
Yes.
Is what you said.
There was another notable death today. A person died today I didn't even know was still alive. I'm not going to try to do Paul Guess the News because I won't be able to do it properly. The woman who accused Emmett Till of improper behavior died today.
Wow.
And I'm sure the person listening knows who Emmett Till is. This accusation of improper behavior. Emmett Till was a 14-year-old black kid. She is a white woman. She accused this kid of, I don't know, whistling at her in a way. Told a couple people. These two people lynched Emmett Till. And it turned into, like, the start of the civil rights movement.
Yeah. And... do you know, because I don't, if she just died, like, what her stance, I guess, what did she eventually, you know, apologize, donate a lot of money to something?
From what I've heard, she admitted to lying, but she did not recant. If you can parse those two things. This is just from, like, a brief article that I read online. She did not face any charges. The two people who killed Emmett Till were found not guilty by an all-white jury, so go south.
Yeah.
Which is, again, a thing. But... no, she never faced any consequences. I don't believe she... I mean, I don't know if she was remorseful at all in the, you know, 50, 60 years it's been.
I feel obligated to, you know, for the go south thing. You know, it's white supremacy. Again, there are plenty of people in the south who live in the south who are, you know...
you're right. I'm generalizing Emmett Till
was also a southerner,
you know,
blah, blah, blah. Not blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Emmett Till was also a southerner.
Well, he was actually from Chicago. Which, again, a thing I didn't know until I read this article.
He was visiting. Okay.
He was from Chicago. Now, he was visiting Louisiana.
That is. Okay, let's just roll all the way back. This is a sort of an episode of Ben and Paul Solve Racism, which is our derogatory statement about ourselves because we talk about stuff that we don't know anything about. Famously, no research is done for this show. Not only that, we hardly ever look things up. So, let's do a laundry list really quick of things that we already have gotten wrong. I said that Emmett Till was a Southerner. Incorrect. Emmett Till was from Chicago, which is something that Ben informed me of, and he would know because he just read an article. That's number one. Apologies to everyone as far as that goes. And then, of course, number two, it's not something that we necessarily got wrong, but it was something that, I called Ben out on so that I would feel better about myself before I made the mistake of San Antonio to the South, which is, of course, Southerners, you know, oftentimes when we say Southerners, what we mean are, you know, white people in the South, not necessarily all the people in the South who are white feel this way. The folks who are in power do certain things that then affect the rest of their states and countries and things like that, and that there are plenty of people of color. There are plenty of what do you call the women in the South who are you know, under the choices that are made by the leadership of those areas, not necessarily you know, wanting to move to other states where, you know, they've already had their lives in this area, not necessarily able to move and all that. So whenever someone, and so this is one, again, me aiming for one group and punching Ben instead, the times when I am, you know, rarely now online and see people, you know, when some southern state has a abortion ban that passed and they say, you know, the South sucks, if you live there you deserve what you get, any of that kind of stuff, puts me a little bit off to my fellow left-leaning folks, and therefore I took a stand against Ben, who was not doing any of the stuff that I was, you know, decrying. So, Ben, I apologize publicly to you on what is pretty much our own private podcast.
For generalizing the South as being racist in the mid-1950s.
Well, me calling you out for referring to what racist as the South, which, I mean, Northerners are racist too, blah, 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 both sides. Bah,
there's
bah, bah.
Both sides. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see living in the Midwest has done things to you, Paul.
Yeah. I'm married to my gun. Wait, who is that? There's a TikTok person. Oh, I don't know what her name is.
I would
but
not
it's,
know
it's,
this.
I'm married to a gun. Oh, no, I'm married. My job is America and my husband is a gun, I think was what it was. It was nice. It was a funny little phrase.
I mean,
anyway.
There's you're right. Bigotry is everywhere. Racism is everywhere. In fact, today, this week, a transgendered lawmaker in Montana has been expelled from her duly elected seat in the Montana legislature.
Is it sort of like what happened in Tennessee? Like,
that it's almost actually exactly can't what be happened. Done? I guess the Montana Republicans decided that it worked out so well in Tennessee, they decided to do it to one of their own. So this transgender legislator. Who actually has Seattle...
Transgendered
Seattle,
legislature. Let's hope someday.
This person actually has Seattle roots. Was expelled from her seat in the Montana State House. I mean, I'm sure the Republicans there have their reasons, but for everybody else listening, the reasons are because they don't like her because she's transgender.
Wow.
And from what I understand, she's standing up for transgendered rights. And they don't like it.
Doing something that she was elected to do, technically?
Yeah.
So
technically.
Well, yeah. That's the thing that I am
Zoe Zephyr,
happy
her name.
About. Oh, Zoe Zephyr. I don't know Zoe Zephyr. But
our friend from Seattle? Michael Hayes knew her at Hugo from Hugo House.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Hugo House is nice. Speaking of somewhat good things, happy things, Hugo House. It's still around, right?
The organization is still around. The house, however, is long gone.
Oh, did it go before I left?
No, I think it was still here when you left, but they tore the house down, which was an old mortuary, and now it is a standard apartment block with restaurants on the ground level. It is and Hugo House, but it is like low income housing, so it's not that bad.
I took a poetry writing workshop, a one-day poetry writing workshop with Artist the Spoon Man there. And it was Spoon nice. Man. There was a wonderful scene that occurred where some people who were visiting from Europe looked at him and said, "Why do they call you the Spoon Man?" And then he kind of grinned and shook his head a little bit. And then pulled out his spoons and did like a quick little thing. It was great.
Come together with your hands. Save me. Hey, that there's some sound. Speaking of Spoon Man.
Yeah.
The members of Soundgarden have settled a lawsuit with Chris Cornell's widow, which means there will be more Soundgarden music.
Hey. I didn't realize that was happening.
I didn't either. But I saw that there was a settlement, and so I don't know why Chris Cornell's widow was suing the band. I'm sure it had something to do with money or legacy. Yeah. But now the band can continue to make music.
Here's what seems weird. What I would say with that, you know, just look at the Zappa Kids. Anytime it's like, what is there an argument about? You know, like, they wanted to keep Dweezil Zappa from doing Zappa. Here's the thing. I always liked Amit Zappa better on their MTV appearances. But, you know, I kind of am like, yeah, I don't think that you should be able to stop Dweezil Zappa from doing Frank Zappa songs. I don't think that that's a thing that should happen. But it was happening. Maybe it still is. So maybe it's the same thing, like, you know, I need to have more money from this if you're going to be using Soundgarden's name and all that. But yeah, this is the other thing. Chris Cornell is a very specific and very talented type of singer. Temple of the Dog, Hunger Strike, that song?
Yeah,
where you've got,
very familiar.
I was listening to that on the radio with Jennifer. And I was like, it seems almost, and please, Eddie Vedder, if you're listening to this, I love you and don't take any of this the wrong way. I said to her, it seems unfair to have Eddie Vedder and Chris Cornell singing like one right after the other at the same time. And she said, well, look, this is the thing, is that Eddie Vedder is a lyrical singer and Chris Cornell is a belter. And so the two of them together, and of course, at which I said, I boss man, because of the belters in the science fiction show that I watch sometimes. But the fact is that he has a very specific voice, a very particular type of talent. You could probably get someone else, right? There's a band called, I think it's Avenged Sevenfold, who do a Faith No More song, or Mr. Bungle Song, one of the two, I forget which. And the lead singer there does a great rendition of it, is able to sing everything Mike Patton sang.
There have been a number of cases where major bands have replaced the lead singer, and it's been fine. AC/DC is a good example of that. Van Halen, I guess.
Look, you know, Jennifer and I have talked about this recently, too. There's no problem at all with Sammy Hagar. People liked him before Van Halen, you know, that sort of... But, what was it? Oh, the... Journey's lead singer, replacement lead singer, was hired specifically, well, not just specifically, but on the true ability of him to sound like Steve Perry. Steve Perry, is that right? Have I got that right?
Yeah. So that's an interesting question because
oh, go ahead.
I mean, when bands hire replacement lead singers,
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how important it is for that band's new lead singer to sound like the old one. Because, and I'm thinking of AC/DC specifically.
Yeah.
Brian Johnson doesn't sound exactly like Bon Scott, but he's in the Bon Scott range.
Which is the guy who wears the newsboy cap with the curly hair.
That's Brian Johnson. Okay. That's the new guy. But like when AC/DC plays live shows, and I think Brian Johnson is retired because like health issues.
Yeah.
And a number of the band members have also passed away. So who knows if they even still tour. But when they toured, I'm wondering if they played Bon Scott AC/DC songs during their live shows. And like what did that sound like?
I think they might. So, like, I mean, yeah.
Is Soundgarden, if Soundgarden hires a new singer, are they going to tour and play songs from Black Hole Sun? And are they going to try to find a dude that sounds like, you know, the Belter?
You know, here's the thing. All they need to do, really, is just have Miley Cyrus be the lead singer, and then no one will care. Miley Cyrus has been doing covers.
Very different audience.
Has been doing covers recently. And Black Hole Sun, I think, is one of the ones she did, I want to say. But yeah, she's just been knocking it out of the park. I'm, you know, was not a Hannah Montana fan or anything like that.
Well after my time as a kid.
But yeah, I am a cover, you know me, I love cover songs.
Oh, yeah.
And she she does a great job of a whole bunch of them. She did, like, Head Like a Hole. For I think the Black Mirror, I think a Black Mirror episode, but anyway, other things as well. But I feel as though, like again, going back to Mike Patton, one of my, of course, favorite frontmen in my lifetime of listening to music. He did We Care a Lot, which was a Faith No More song from before he was their lead singer.
Yeah.
But that's Mike Patton. You know, of course, it's great. You know, why wouldn't it be? I'm trying to think of other bands that have replaced their lead singer that went on to be, you know, as famous, and whether or not they played...
Genesis.
Did Genesis do any of the Peter Gabriel era stuff? I don't know, but...
Who knows?
But, I mean, Phil Collins sounded a lot like Peter Gabriel, vocally, with the vocal effects and stuff like that.
But Genesis, actually, I want to say that they got more fame with Phil Collins at the helm.
They did. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. You know the story about that, right?
I don't, actually.
They were auditioning lead singers, and Phil Collins kept on, like... going, no, it has to be more like this. Because he was still the drummer at the time.
And so was he, like, coaching the people in the auditions?
Coaching the people. And then eventually they were like, you know, it should just be you, Phil. And he was like, all right. And here's the thing. Anybody else, I would say that, you know, it's a thing. Like, it's like the Jeopardy producer who's like, I guess I'm the host of Jeopardy now, or whatever.
Right.
I honestly, I want to believe that Phil Collins was like not wanting to be lead singer. I know that's probably not true, but I like to think I've got this impression of Phil Collins. I don't know where I got it from, but that he's just, you know, a salt of the earth, nice guy.
I think it was probably, I mean, I don't know. I want to believe that rock stars that I like are genuine people and good people. And so Phil Collins was probably, he's probably sincere when coaching people in the audition because he wanted the best person and maybe he needed to be convinced that he was the best person.
I feel as though, like, Jennifer hates Phil Collins songs. and so, you know, I can never practice them when she's in the house or whatever, but like, I really feel like,
I'm not the biggest fan. I mean, I like The Police, but I'm not a fan of seeing solo stuff. So I feel
like Take Me Home, which I might be a Genesis song, but I think it's a Phil Collins song, is one of my favorite songs that he does. And there was a scene in Mr. Robot where that played when he's making the guy burn all the money. Do you remember? Did you see Mr. Robot?
I never saw Mr. Robot. No.
Oh, spoilers for Mr. Robot. Not really, but sort of. You should see it,
money
Ben.
Gets burned.
It's good. There's a guy who burns some money.
it's not about the money.
It's about the money. I personally, because like I said, my love of covers, I feel as though if a band makes you their new lead singer, you should be able to sing any of the songs that they used to do. And if it's one that was made famous by someone whose voice is different than yours, you make it your own, you do, you know, your own version of it, and it should be fine.
Yeah. Just get right, because there will be inevitable fan backlash.
Yeah.
I mean, because people are jerks.
Exactly. And, you know, I really do think, I talk about this, you know, already that my recommendation.
About this on my other podcast.
No. I've talked about it in this podcast a lot. If you, you know, for folks who have, you know, who are on the spectrum, I talk about how theater training is really good for you because you are learning to perform naturally, sort of. And I'm not saying that I'm 100% adept at it, but it has really helped me. The other thing that I think theater training is super good for, and I'm not talking about just theater training, but like going to see plays and stuff like that, the idea of not being in love with a specific stylistic canon for something. If we see films, right, when something is on a film, the way that it is on the film is the way that it is, and any deviation from that is bad, right? Because the film is the same way every single time. Whereas if you see a play that's put on by a theater company, and then you see another play put on by a theater company, the fact that that character is played by someone completely different than the other play that you saw doesn't seem to have as devastating of an effect as, you know, when they recast movies, it seems to me. Right? Like wouldn't you say that if you went to see Hamlet at Theater Schmierder and you also saw it at the Seattle Rep, and there was a different person playing Hamlet, you wouldn't go, oh, what is this?
I would be more surprised if it were the same person.
Yeah, exactly. But wouldn't that be great? Oh, man. Yeah, Ben. Ha-ha. Another pitch. You get a cat. This would never happen.
You get a cat.
But you get a cast from something that went up at the Seattle Rep, and you get them to come to Annex and do an insane version of it.
They already have
all the lines memorized. They already did all that stuff. You do it for charity, right? And what it is that it's genre flipped. If it's a comedy, they play it as a drama. If it's drama, they play it as a comedy. I think it would be awesome. All you need is one friend in the cast to get the other ones on board.
Now we present Raisin in the Sun, a broad comedy.
Exactly. Oh. But again, maybe not that one.
Let's see, what's playing now at the big houses?
Here's the thing. What's playing at the big houses, is there anyone you know in it?
Actually, there's a show that is going to go up at the Rep later in May, and I know the director.
Who is the director, Ben? Do I know the director?
You don't know the director. The director is a gal named Amina Kaplan, and the show is Lydia and the Troll, written by Justin Huertas. And, I've worked with Amina in the past, and so I'm going to go see the show, but I don't know if this is a show that is going to be, you know, I don't know if they're going to want to bring it to our tiny stage here, or if I could even convince them that's a thing.
Well, and then also, if you watch it, what if it's Gasp, a dramedy, where there are comedic bits and serious bits, and then you'd have to, it'd be very difficult to
pull. You switch all the bits.
Although, I do say that, you know, with live streaming now, didn't exist at the time that we were doing it, Hamlet House could be a possibility, Ben.
Hamlet House was a fun idea.
You could totally do it, live stream it. I'm not, you know, going to be able to be involved.
Am I.
Yeah. but still, tell Annex to do it. I know that an RFP thing came out. Has that already happened?
Yeah, they've already selected stuff.
Okay. The next time the RFP comes up, we pitch it. We say we will be in no way involved in this. We'll get Rachel Jackson to also be on board.
Not be involved.
Should not be involved. It'd be great. Hey, is she still doing puppet stuff, by the way?
Yeah, and in fact, in May, there's a Fussy Cloud Puppet Slam happening at Theater Off Jackson.
So here's the thing. Here's the other possibility. You do Hamlet House, but it's actually just in a cube, and everybody is puppets, and they're not just puppets. They're just figures on sticks, and they just move whenever they talk, and you're reading the scripts. It would totally work. Look, I'm a genius as far as I'm concerned. Paul Goody.
I'm glad at least you recognize it.
There's a thing that apparently I've been doing. I don't know if you know this part, but I have vocal tics every once in a while where I say something at the end of everything I say. Apparently, I've been saying "in my opinion" a lot. Where my
just
opinion
with Jennifer or at work or
everywhere. Where my opinion doesn't actually read into it. So I will say something like this. Well, you know, trees that bear pine cones are usually evergreens, in my opinion. Well, you know, that's not your opinion. That's just a fact. Yes. And it's because I'm just so used to qualifying everything that I say to make sure that no one gets mad at me.
Right.
Let's see. Oh, hey.
I usually qualify everything I say just so people get mad at me.
Ha ha. But I'm a jerk.
And you'd never know that because you're dumb.
Speaking of, okay, spoilers for Barry. Have you been keeping up?
Yes.
So good, Ben. So good. It's interesting. Oh, here we go. Barry, Bill Hader, more Ben than Paul. But
I am not a Bill Hader.
But getting a little bit more Paul in this last season, his rage, is interesting.
Which Which is it is interesting. You probably know this. Bill Hader has directed all of the episodes of this season. He hasn't written all of them, but
yeah,
I read an article about how he was severely unhappy at Saturday Night Live, and I don't think he like punched walls or anything like that, as to the extent that Barry does mm-hmm. when he's in prison. But I kind of feel like Bill Hader's rage, like Barry's rage
yeah.
in those scenes, he might be pulling from his emotional state when he was a cast member at SNL.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just based on what he said.
And
in my opinion.
I love... Stop. I love the fact that... they set up, first of all, Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
That was nice. And
his character was Toro.
Yeah, exactly. And setting up the fact that the podcast that the Assassins worked on was all about gadgets. And that some of them were bad. So right. that when the...
What am I going to do? Explodes. Pull over and hit a YouTube link while I'm driving? Okay, I will do that. I'll pull over and hit a YouTube link.
When the pen explodes when he tries to use it
right.
and blows his hand off, it's like that. I immediately went back to that and went, oh yeah. Just wonderful. And also now Barry being missing. You know, what's yeah. gonna happen there? It's all really good.
Nice little cameo by Brian Doyle Murray as, I guess, the warden there, brother to Bill Murray, also a former, Brian Doyle, a former member of Saturday Night Live.
Really? I had no idea.
Yes. But the thing
this
is...
lends credence to your thing is that two SNL cast members in the prison that he's in, and yeah.
Three. Fred Armisen was there. I mean,
wait. Like, who's the?
He was the guy.
No. I mean, who was the third?
Oh, Brian Doyle Murray. Oh, Bill Hader. Brian
oh,
Doyle
you're
Murray,
you're Armisen. Counting Bill Hader. Okay, sorry, I was confused, but no longer.
No, but
now I know.
Back in March, Scott Augustin had written on Facebook: does Fred Armisen have to show up in everything? And then I was thinking about that as he showed up in that episode of Barry.
Yes. Because, very cool. Yeah. Jennifer was talking about the same thing with Pedro Pascal.
But I like seeing Pedro Pascal in everything.
I was saying the same thing. She's like it is kind of weird though. He's in a lot of stuff now, and I'm like,
well,
yes,
I mean,
but it's okay.
I'm guessing that the reason that he was in he's in a lot of stuff right now is because he didn't have to do a lot for The Mandalorian.
Yep.
He essentially just had to show up to the ADR session.
Yeah, which is...
I would doubt if he was in the suit at all.
Yeah, unless they make him take his helmet off, which is rare.
Right.
And again, we talk about Doom Patrol. Same deal. You know, they're...
Right, right.
There are lots of situations.
I haven't seen the latest season of Doom Patrol, but I do know that in the this is the fourth season, yeah, or the third.
I believe it's the fourth.
In the third season, the people who were the actual performers finally got their names in the opening credits and not just in the closing credits.
That's really cool. That's really good. And that explains who those other people were, because I noticed it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so that's cool.
I mean, that's the thing about The Mandalorian is that there are no opening credits for actors. But Pedro Pascal is still the first credited, and then the I don't want to call them body doubles, but the people who actually do a lot of the Mandalorian stunts. Lateef Crowder and Brendan Wayne are on the fourth screen of credits.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. As it should be. Hey, speaking of as it should be, this podcast is Gotta be over in a second.
An hour long, as it should be.
Yes, indeed. So, Ben, until I speak to you next week, I ask you to keep it wrong. Keep and how'd it happen?
I'll talk to you next week. Hey, how's it happening?
No, how's it happening? Dang it, I forgot. I was going to do it at the beginning.
We had some technical issues at the top of the show.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
I would have forgotten
anyway. Save it for next week on the Goody Lawrence podcast.
And a happy how's it happening to you and yours.
All right.
Keep it
wrong. A merry, happy how's it happening. All right.
I don't want to stop it. It's a good time.
The stream.
Here we go.
And finally,
I still didn't stop it. I thought I did.
How's it happening? The stream is over.